We know, for example, that in about 1070 BC, at the end of the New Kingdom, there was probably more wealth in gold in Egypt underground than there was in the land of the living. It was a huge business, burying the wealthy. Amun was all-powerful. His priests had an enormous say in the affairs of the kingdom. They owned the temples of Amun, owned, or the priesthood of Amun, enormous tracts of land. This gave them, in the view of some people, more clout than they should have. The classic business of the secular and the religious in a state. In 1353 BC, Pharaoh Akhenaten came to the throne of Egypt. Akhenaten has been judged harshly by history. No one really knows whether he was a religious extremist, an evangelist, a heretic, a crazy, or a very smart man indeed. One thing is certain. He was, in religious terms, a man of very different beliefs. He considered himself and his family as the sole intermediaries between the people of Egypt and the sun god. And he ordered the temples of Amun closed, the ancient religion abolished in the favor of the worship of the sun's disk, Aten. This was a dramatic move, a move which anyone knows who tries to change a conservative institution must have created consternation and havoc through the kingdom. Whether he did this out of pure religious belief or as a bold move to undercut and destroy the power of the priests of Amun, we do not know. But certainly he embraced a very pure form of sun worship, where he worshipped the sun's disk, Aten. He also deliberately moved his capital to El Amarna, downstream of Thebes, where he reigned for 17 years. Interestingly, directly he died, his capital was abandoned, which makes it a wonderful treasure trove of information for archaeologists, because there are not deep stratified layers above Akhenaten's capital, and over long-term campaigns, we are beginning to get a plan of his capital, of his royal precinct at one end of the town where he lived in splendid isolation, of the processional way which bisected his city, and at the other end the public precincts and the temple, and the place, the court, where he would appear on his carefully rationed public appearances to honor officials with extra rations and ornaments and so on. We are knowing more and more about life in Akhenaten's time, thanks to these excavations. And we also are learning a great deal about an extraordinarily naturalistic art style, which he encouraged and fostered, epitomized by the famous bust of his queen, Nefertiti, and epitomized, too, by beautiful pictures of flowers and birds and more naturalistic depictions of the pharaoh and his family, often basking in the rays of Aten, the sun disk. Was he a heretic? Was he just a religious fanatic? Or was he a man who believed in drastic political solutions? We don't know. We probably never will know, because we have no documents that bear on this, and certainly he made the effort to try and chisel away the name of Amun from all the temples where it appeared. But one thing is certain. A lot of people may have paid lip service to this move. What else could you do when the king is all-powerful, particularly if you're a high official? But directly he died, a troubled kingdom where there had been a great deal of disorder, where Egypt's prestige overseas was affected, and where there were powerful factions maneuvering for power after he died, the worship of Amun was restored with dramatic speed.